Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shot fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
People, welcome to this Friday Fri-yay edition of WKAR's Current Sports. I hope you all are doing well out there. It is so, so nice to be with you all on what is a bit of a cloudy and rainy Fri-yay. But hey, the weekend is upon us. And folks, I can't wait to just sit around my TV all weekend and just watch the Masters, right? You know, I did a lot of that yesterday while having my laptop in my lap and cranking out a lot of work. And yo, shout out to Justin Rose, because Justin Rose had one incredible round one, didn't he? I mean, the dude shot a 65 in round one. Goodness. I mean, and on that course, I mean, there were so many clips, bad clips, of golfers out there just struggling on that course, folks. I mean, the greens are incredibly, incredibly fast. I mean, I saw one guy, I don't know who the golfer was, he wasn't a big name golfer, but, you know, he was like on the right side of the green, a little off the green actually, in that first patch, and, you know, he tried to get the ball as, you know, of course, on the upslope, as close to the pin as possible. And he got it on the upslope, but it just trickled down just like, you know, 2 inches. And the ball rolled all the way on the backside of the green, off the green. And, you know, he was looking at like, I don't know, maybe like a 30-yard chip. It was insane. It was insane, folks. So, yeah, the fact that Justin Rose was able to go out there and conquer the course like he did in that way, 65. I mean, that's unbelievable stuff. And I'm watching right now. You know, I've got it up as I'm recording here in the morning. And again, these numbers may shift. I always tell people that when I'm trying to give you guys a live, quote unquote, live update, right? You know, I'm recording the show in the morning, you know, in the pandemic era of Current Sports. So by the time you listen to this, I don't know, the leaderboard may have shifted. But right now, Justin Rose, he is in a battle with Bernd Westberger, and you know, they're both at 4 under right now. And right now, though, Justin Rose, he is, let's see here, he's 4 under along with Bernd through 7. Bernd is through 10 holes, and for the round, Bernd is 6 under. Can you believe that? 6 under. While Justin Rose is 3 over. So, looks like Bernd just had a bogey, actually. He's actually now 5 under. So, it's a battle between those guys. But you have, you know, you've got a lot of golfers right behind those guys. You know, still very early. Mark Leishman, Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama. They are all at 3 under. Then you have Jordan Spieth at 2 under. He's been a very, very sexy pick for a lot of people out there, including myself, because he just won last week. But you also have Webb Simpson at 2 under. Patrick Reed is at 2 under. So we've got a lot of Americans, you know, in the running as well for this thing. But you know, there's really nothing like the Masters, man. I mean, you know, it really marks the beginning of the golf season, first major of the year. It just really gets you in that mode. And, the thing about the Masters is you don't have to be a diehard golf fan to tune in and watch it. I talk to multiple people around this time of the year that won't watch a golf major throughout the rest of the sporting calendar, but they will tune in at least, a couple of times throughout the Masters, especially Sunday. That final round during the Masters tournament, it really is the most coveted day in all of golf. And people who don't even follow golf, people who care nothing about it, they will at least tune in to check out who will be wearing the green jacket. Now, I know. All right. Golf's biggest draw in Eldrick Tiger Woods. He is not playing. He, had that car accident and is at home recovering. There was a chance that he may be out there. Even without the car accident, it was kind of like 50-50 whether or not Tiger Woods was going to go out there and have a golf club in his hand throughout this weekend competing for another green jacket. He's the biggest draw, though. The numbers prove it. The ratings show it. Whenever Tiger Woods is playing, more people watch. Simple as that. And, knowing that he's not out there, I'm just curious how many fans of sports. Again, I'm not really talking to the diehard golf fans out there, because you're going to watch regardless, like me. Okay. My TV stays on two channels for the most part. If I'm watching live TV, if I'm not streaming some movie or TV show, right. But ESPN and the Golf Channel, that's it, man. Those two channels get a lot of play over here. So I'm not talking to my diehard golf fans, because you're going to watch regardless. You're watching right now. But the casual golf fan, even without Tiger Woods playing, I'm curious how many of you are locked in this weekend to the Masters. It's just a special event, though. A very, very, very special event. And, I'm looking forward to seeing if Justin Rose can pull this thing off. The thing is, though, the course is just, it's just so tough. It really is. I think they made it purposely that way because they didn't want to see any like crazy numbers like they did a year ago. Guys shooting like 50 under. They wanted to really challenge these golfers and create a little bit of drama. And that can go two ways, because we like seeing low numbers. We like seeing guys hit birdies left and right. But at the same time, for the average golfer, I must say, I like when I do see a professional golfer shanking into the woods or, see a professional golfer's chip shot on the green roll off the backside because the greens are incredibly fast. It humanizes them a little bit. And it reminds me of us as the casual golfers when we're out there just playing with our buddies, right? So it could go two ways, man. I like seeing a little bit of that drama. I saw Jordan Spieth. He actually hit into the trees twice yesterday and had to get his ball out of the pine straw. And the first time he did it, he actually, he hits his drive into the trees. And then he, for his second shot, he's trying to find, he had like a small window to get his ball out of the trees. And, he takes his iron and whacks it, and it hits another tree. The ball, thank goodness, it bounced back and didn't go into like any bushes or anything, but it gave him a clear sight to just, hit it out of there with some force and get closer to the green on his third shot. He had a little area that he could hit through in that craziness of trees. But it happened again. And Jim Nance and company, they kept bringing up that, look, man, the first two rounds, especially that round one, you will not win the Masters in round one, but you can lose it in round one. Meaning if you don't get off to just an average start, you can play yourself out of it, man. And it's really, really, really tough to recover from. And that's what we saw. But, Justin Rose just, shocking everybody, man, with that low score after a tough round one at Augusta National. Just amazing. It was really one of the toughest days in recent Masters history. And, the average actually, in the 85-year history of the tournament was like very, very, very high. It wasn't anything close to 65. So, yeah, it's pretty nuts, man. Pretty nuts. So the field average actually rose above 74. I'm looking right here. The field average on round one of the Masters was right above 74, and this dude shoots a 65. That's just incredible. That is just incredible. But again, you got some guys that are, you know, right there in contention. Right there in contention and can really, you know, pull this off. But, you know, it, also another storyline for me, Rory McIlroy, you know, a frustrating trend continue for this dude, you know, who's a four-time major winner. And I'm just waiting on Rory to just kind of wake up and give us a flash of the past. You know, when he won those four majors, we thought that he would have a lot more by 2021 at least. But he's just been up and down. His game has been like a roller coaster. And he shot a 4-over-76 in the first round, including a ball in the water on number 13. He actually had a shot off of his dad's leg. I'm not kidding, folks. The ball hit his father's leg. What are the odds, right? It's almost like, you know, you hear that headline, you say, oh, they planned that. But impossible to plan something like that. But Rory had on his approach shot, you know, in the trees. Well, near the trees, I should say. He wasn't directly in there. But, you know, he hits it and it goes so, so far. And his dad is sitting there and it just hits him right in the leg. But, yeah, you know, 4-over-76 for him. And check this. Since 2015 in the majors, Rory is a combined plus 32 in round one. My goodness. He's 64 under in rounds two through four. So Rory has been really struggling to get off to hot starts. He really is. And then I mentioned, you know, Jordan Spieth. You know, I picked Spieth just like many people did. And, you know, his game was kind of up and down as well. You know, I talked about the shot that, he hits into the trees and then hits another tree. And then, you know, he was forced to escape with the bogey there. But his ride was kind of up and down, but he's still in the running, you know, finishing at one under, you know, playing the second nine at three under. So, yeah, man. And then, you know, is Patrick Reed going to win two Masters in 4 years? How crazy would that be? You know, 5 years ago, I would have told you that was impossible. But, you know, two under after a pair of 34s with just three players in front of him. Man, you can't go wrong if you did choose Patrick Reed, who is a compelling golfer when it comes to many different reasons. And then check this, the top 10 theory. Check this. Since 05, only Tiger Woods has come from outside the top 10 after round one to win this golf tournament. If that stands up, then your winner will be one of the following 12 golfers. It'll be either Justin Rose, Brian Harman, Hideki Matsuyama, Will Zalatoris, Webb Simpson, Chris Bezenhout, Patrick Reed, Siwoo Kim, Jason Kokrak, Shane Lowry, Tyrell Hatton, or Jordan Spieth. Those are all of the golfers who were in the top 10 after round one. Again, only Tiger has come from outside of the top 10 after round one since 05 to win this thing. So if you are a betting man or woman, those are the golfers that you may be looking to lay down some cheese on, okay? But, you know, the Masters, I mean, I'm still sticking with my guy Jordan Spieth, but goodness, Justin Rose, he looks really, really good. So golf is certainly the theme today. Later on this hour, I told you I'll have a special guest and that guest couldn't come on today, but I want to stick with the theme of golf. And I actually want to go back to our current sports TV days, and I'm going to roll in an interview, a chat that I had with Michigan State men's golf coach, Casey Lubon. And we had a lot of fun on this episode, it'll be a nice little flashback Friday interview for you guys. Okay. And Casey will talk about the incredible golf facility that is Michigan State University. If you guys remember, just a few years ago, a $6 million golf facility, which sits right on the side of the old team clubhouse for Michigan State Golf, and right next to the offices on the east side of the Forest Acres West golf course. It's a nearly 20,000 square foot facility, and it came together after nearly a decade of discussions, as well as a $3 million donation from the Scandalaris family and a $2 million naming gift from Rick and Suzanne Lash of East Lansing. And a number of MSU coaches, including, you know, former Michigan State football coach Mark D'Antonio, Michigan State basketball coaches Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant, they were among the more than 100 people to attend this dedication. And we had Casey on right around the time that this happened, and it is beautiful, folks. I have still yet to visit it, and you know, which is a crime because I'm such a golf nut. And actually, Casey has invited me a few times, and I may have to make that happen this summer and bring you guys like a video feature for our social media pages, because this facility is just incredible. And the funny thing is, I golf over there all the time. You know, I'm always, you know, if I got a break from work, especially during the wintertime because of the heated tees, you know, if it was anywhere near 30 degrees, I would head over to the heated tees at the Forest Acres driving range, which are really, really cool. Again, you can just keep your game tight or somewhat tight throughout the winter months that are Michigan, right? And I would go over there and just hit, and I would just stare at that facility like, my goodness, it's just so beautiful, even on the outside, all right? So I can just imagine how the inside is. So we'll roll in that interview with Casey Lubon, one of my favorite guys to have on Current Sports. But also, I want to roll in this piece from our very own Scott Pohl, because you may not know this, but there is something really cool happening at Jackson Field, home of your Lansing Lugnuts. And they have actually transformed Jackson Field into a nine-hole, like golf course, which is pretty cool. It kind of reminds me of Top Golf. You know, it's not like a real golf course, right? But you can take your wedge and you can play golf at Jackson Field. So here's our very own Scott Pohl with the details on that.
A unique four-day event began Thursday at Jackson Field in Lansing, home of the Lansing Lugnuts baseball team. Instead of the crack of the bat on a baseball, it was the sound of golf clubs striking golf balls on the makeshift course laid out inside the stadium. Golfers teed up from the concourse and hit three shots at nine holes painted on the grass. Points were awarded for getting the ball to the field, onto the green, and even for a hole-in-one. Marcus Smith from Lansing has a job with the Lugnuts and wanted to see what the so-called Grand River Country Club looked like.
How you turn a baseball field into a golf course? Yeah, it turned out pretty nice, I'd say.
The Lugnuts say some tee times remain through the weekend. I'm Scott Pohl.
I mean, how incredibly cool is that? So as you heard, the event will conclude on Sunday, and there will be a proclaimed champion and, you know, awarded with the first ever Grand River Country Club Championship Red Blazer. So you see how they did this. They scheduled this right around the Masters. You know, you get a green jacket when you win the Masters. You get a red jacket if you win the first ever Grand River Country Club Championship. Awesome stuff. And again, the champion will also receive a complimentary night in the owner's suite to enjoy a Lugnuts home game this season. So it is awesome stuff, and it's really cool how they did this. There's some visuals of this that Scott has provided. You can see Joe Tornado Toth, who tees off inside Jackson Field. We have a picture of him doing his thing along with Scott's story. So head to WKAR.org for that, and we thank our very own Scott Pohl for bringing that story to us. Okay, a brief break from the golf And I do want to touch upon this before we hit our first break, and I'll roll in that throwback or flashback Friday interview with Casey Lubon. And I do want to talk about, you know, what's happening with the latest on Deshaun Watson. Now, folks, again, you know, what I've said throughout, you know, following this story is that I really hope young athletes out there are paying close attention to this. All right? Because when you are a young superstar athlete, everything is really at your beck and call. Everything comes so easy. Whatever you want, for the most part, again, depending on how big of a superstar you are, if you're like Deshaun Watson level, you can pretty much get, okay? And again, we don't know if Deshaun Watson is guilty or if he's innocent. We must let the legal process play out. But I say this, when you are a young superstar athlete who basically has the world at his feet, and I'm talking to the brothers out there, all right? You have to make sure that every move you make is calculated and is smart. Because if you even put yourself in a position like this, like Deshaun Watson has, it could all be snatched away from you. And you need to surround yourself with people who know you, who know your character, and if you do get out of character, can slap you right back in the line and give you a wake-up call. You don't need a bunch of yes men around you who are just doing, you know, what you tell them to do and who are worshiping you. It's not the kind of circle you want. But you can't put yourself in a position like Deshaun Watson has. And look, if he's guilty, he deserves every consequence that comes with this. But if he is innocent, it's a lesson into how you need to move as a young superstar athlete. We got to wait and see how this plays out, but I really hope that coaches out there, that parents out there are having their sons pay close attention to this. Because this dude was at the top of the football world just months ago. I mean, just rewind the clock back to the Super Bowl back in February. Just not long ago, folks. Super Bowl just happened. And I remember watching Deshaun Watson on YouTube. They invited him, and they had like Snoop Dogg, Michael Strahan was hosting it. What other athletes were on there? I think it was Kyler Murray was also a part of it. I mean, it's a bunch of cats. And you know, I remember watching it, and he was a part of this big Madden tournament. Everybody was just playing Madden because there was no Pro Bowl this year. So they decided to play the Pro Bowl on Madden, and everybody got a quarter. Deshaun Watson was a part of it. I remember watching him and saying, okay, Deshaun, he's a real quiet dude, but, you know, man, just carries himself very well. One of the faces of the league. One of my favorite players to watch on any given Sunday. And he goes from that moment being one of the hallmark names in the NFL to now being a hallmark name in the NFL for a different reason. And again, we don't know if he's innocent or guilty. But the mere fact that your name is linked to sexual assault, it doesn't matter. Because you know what happens? These endorsements, these companies who have brought you to be one of the faces to endorse their product, they don't want any link, whether you're guilty or innocent, they don't want any link to something like that. And they will say, thanks, but no thanks. We got to drop you. And that's what's happened. I don't know if you guys saw, but 2 days ago, Nike has dropped Deshaun Watson. And also Beats by Dre has said that, yeah, thanks, Deshaun, but no thanks. That's it. Sorry. Appreciate you. Millions of dollars just went out the window because of that decision. And look, it's happened with other superstar athletes. Look, need I bring up Kobe Bryant? Did we forget about that? When he, and you know, Kobe is one of the exceptions, right? That you, this usually doesn't happen. I mean, Kobe, you know, he admitted that he had consensual sex with this woman. He was not found guilty of any kind of sexual assault. And but that moment stained him, and it took a while for people to just go back to enjoying Kobe the basketball player. And it was around that time where he developed the Mamba mentality, where he's just like, look, it's just basketball. I'm going out here just to kill everybody on the basketball court, and I'm going to make you forget about whatever happened then. But it took a while. I mean, Kobe would be at, you know, other venues on the road in the NBA, and he would hear people calling him names that I can't repeat here on the airwaves. And that stained him, man. And endorsements dropped him left and right. Did I bring up Tiger Woods and the whole thing with his ex-wife Elin? Endorsements dropped him left and right. You know, all of the infidelity that he was found guilty of. That's what happens, man. The line is so fragile when you are of that kind of status. It is why, man, I bring up an interview that I've just recently watched with Kevin Hart, the comedian, and he had Eddie Murphy on his podcast, as Eddie Murphy is pubbing Coming to America, the second Coming to America. And Eddie talked about how, look, man, he was just hyper aware of who was around him and what was happening at all times. And because of that, as he got older, his circle got smaller and smaller and smaller, because guys who used to rock with him, he had to cut off because they were moving in a way that wasn't good for the Eddie Murphy brand. And he was so conscious of what was happening around him, and he wouldn't allow certain things to happen around him, and he wouldn't engage in certain things. I didn't know this. Eddie Murphy wasn't a drinker. He isn't still a drinker. He didn't dabble in drugs. Clean dude. And you could see, I mean, Eddie Murphy looks great. I mean, to be, you know, his age. I mean, how old is Eddie Murphy? Let me see here. He's 60 years old. Looks like he's in his 40s. Looks amazing, man. But that's an example of how you should do it. But for Deshaun Watson, this looks bad, man. This looks really ugly right now. And a judge has just ordered a woman suing Deshaun to now disclose her name. I mean, we're up to now, what, 20-plus women. 22 women who have filed against Watson, alleging sexual assault and inappropriate conduct. And only two women have been publicly identified right now. At a hearing this morning, a Harris County judge ruled that one of the plaintiffs suing Watson must identify herself by refiling her lawsuit with her name attached. The ruling was made by Judge Deidre Davis in the 270th District Court. A similar hearing regarding at least 12 other cases is set for noon today. So by the time you're listening to this right now, I mean, that's happening right now. And during today's hearing, Watson's attorney, Rusty Harden, accused Busby of using the women's anonymity to quote, kill the reputation of our client. Tony Busby is the Houston attorney of the original lawsuit that was filed on behalf of a Jane Doe. So, yeah, man. So this thing is going to play out. You know, I was asked not too long ago, do I think that Deshaun Watson will be playing football this upcoming year? And I think so, yeah. I think it would be unfair for him to not been to not be guilty of anything or proven guilty of anything yet, and not to be out there, you know, still doing what he does. If he is guilty, when that verdict comes down, if that verdict comes down, then yeah, he doesn't need to play football ever again. But you know, right now, I mean, you got to let the legal process play out. We are so quick as a society to just say, oh, we lay down the hammer right now. I mean, I think he'll still be playing football. But this, I just say this, this does not look good. Okay, when we come back from this break, again, we'll have a flashback Friday interview with Michigan State golf coach Casey Lubon. You are listening to WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. As I noted before we hit that first break, we've got a flashback Friday interview for you guys. As I chat with Michigan State golf coach Casey Lubon, this interview happened, let's see here, 5 years ago. Man, time flies. Time flies, doesn't it? And, you know, this interview occurred right around the time when it was announced that there would be a new home for Michigan State's golf teams in this incredible facility that was finished back in 2016. And just amazing, amazing stuff. I mean, you know, it's a $6 million facility, folks. So we'll start there, and you'll hear how Casey breaks down how this thing came about, and I'll give you the details of this facility. But in honor of this week being the Masters, enjoy this golf flashback Friday interview with Michigan State men's golf coach Casey Lubon. Casey, thanks so much for your time this afternoon.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, well, I want to dive right into it now. You saw the footage of the Lash Family Golf Center. Absolutely unbelievable.
Not bad.
$6 million, like I said, of golf heaven. Mm. How does this facility give you a leg up on the competition?
Yeah, that's a multifaceted answer. I mean, obviously, recruiting is where you're always going to start. When you bring people into the program, are you going to show a university that really supports a golf program? You know, we won the first tournament we played after we opened that building. And we were only in there maybe 5 days. Mm-hmm. And we thought, you know, the facilities to be able to practice, cutting edge practice green, that was what the key. Yeah, that's part of it. But the other part of it is a bunch of kids who know that an athletic department, an athletic director, a whole university are behind them.
Right.
So you see that in recruiting. You also see it from a family environment we create. You know, of the three or four facilities on this scope in the country, we created the biggest family room for our two teams, the men's and women's team, to work together, to share ideas. You know, it's convenient. They work out in there. They eat in there. And a lot of things going in their direction. So it's an all-encompassing kind of answer, but we believe that with this facility, the right kind of kids are going to want to come to this program, hands down, and we're seeing that already.
What's the reaction you get from recruits who visit that center? I have to know, what's the facial expressions that they have when they walk into it?
Yeah, it's cool. You know, I think every young man who walks in the building, a young woman, they try and, you know, play it low key. Mom is where you see the reaction.
The parents,
yeah,
there.
Mom and, you know, dad, they walk around and it's just stunned. And the little things that you don't think about. They have a USB port for their iPad in their locker. And the showers are nicer than any shower in most of our homes. You know, the fact that we do their laundry on site and commercial laundry equipment. So those little things that really make it the total experience. Everyone knows we're going to have world-class practice areas, but those are what you see the reaction of the parents and the kids saying, like, okay, this is the place I'm going to spend all of my time. I'm going to kick them out of here and they go to class, and then they're going to come right back.
Definitely. Now, what other, because you mentioned other schools that have facilities similar to this one. What other schools are those?
Yeah, you got to give credit to Illinois. In 2006, they opened their facility, and it really even up till we finished ours, was probably considered the best by the most people.
Right.
I think we've surpassed them in a lot of areas, but they're both very, very good. And then Ohio State finished one about a year ago. Ohio State's is the biggest, a little different design than ours, more revolving around practice, not as much in a locker room, kitchen, family room, amenity setting. Mm-hmm. So I like to tell people there really isn't a best, but if there is, then we're in a small discussion.
Right, certainly. Right. Now, how is this tweaked or improved the way you coach the game?
Yeah, you know, I think I always joke that the recruits, obviously we've had two top 25 recruits commit to this program since we decided we were building it. The highest ranked recruit in the history of the program before that was 59th. Now, my spiel hasn't gotten a whole lot better. It's pretty much the same. But it does allow me to be more efficient, allows me to see our guys more. Mm-hmm. You know, they're around all the time, even when they're studying, when they're eating, you know, they're working out. Just being around, especially today's generation, young people, brings me closer, allows more trust between us. So it's kind of like your kids go away from college and they come home for a while, and it's kind of what mm-hmm. it felt, because for a year there we had no facility, no home, and now we're really engaged with our student athletes. It's pretty special.
Now, I have to ask this. When you take into account big time college athletics, of course, college football and college basketball run the world right now. When you got word that this facility was going to be built for you all, did you have a about time feeling at all, you know, in comparison to other sports on this campus, like a football or basketball?
Sure. You know, not really. I'll be honest. You know, I'm a Michigan State fan, too. You know, I was a student here. I played here. Football and basketball get what they need, because we all feel strongly about that. When we do our job fundraising, we do our job engaging with the community, which we had done. Golf coaches in large are very close with the donor base. Why? Because everybody plays golf. Mm-hmm. So we knew our time would come. I think we're all impatient. That's part of being a coach. So when it finally did come, I think it was just more excitement, you know, and also a great appreciation for not all coaches get to do this. You know, 34 years old when we started this facility and my dream job, and I'm building my dream facility. You know, you can work your whole career and never have an experience like this. And a lot of our coaches out there here on campus have worked really hard and haven't had this blessing. So, you know, kind of blend that excitement and that, yes, it's time for us, but also a great appreciation.
Now, before it was built, Casey, did they come to you and Stacy about any input as far as what you guys wanted inside the facility?
It's a great question for your viewers. You know, when we started, Greg Annie, our deputy AD, who builds all our facilities, he's built roughly $250 million worth of facilities for us. He certainly seeks input from his users, whether Mark D'Antonio and the Scandalaris football building, all these different buildings, Izzo and basketball. Mm-hmm. He had us start coming to the meetings, and they were almost weekly. And when the first budget estimate came out, we stopped getting the invites to the meetings. Yeah, and that was exactly how it was supposed to be. He took in everything we wanted.
Yeah.
And when we got a little too expensive and he had to trim back and had to make sure we did this in the most efficient way, we got less and less invites. But that's when we wouldn't have traded any other way. So we had input from everything down to, I remember being in a meeting picking out an air conditioning unit.
Get out of here,
which I
really
have no experience with, at, all the way to, you know, I picked all the carpets, tiles, you know, all that mm-hmm. stuff. So I'm grateful to them, because one, did I learn a lot about how we do this, and two, you know, 20 years from now, this facility is going to be going strong. I can always think back and say, oh, I picked this out, and I'm a part of this. So pretty special.
Certainly. Now, what's the chemistry that you and Stacy share with her being the head coach of the women's program and yourself with the men's? I mean, you guys have to be bouncing out ideas off of each other's brains all the time, right?
Nonstop. Yeah, I would say, we jokingly refer to her as my work wife.
Right.
You know, my actual wife, Rachel, played for her. So she's right. a mentor to her. She's been a mentor to me, because she was coaching here when I was playing here.
What a connection.
Oh, man. You know, and her assistant coach, who we just announced played here. My assistant played here. So we're really just a very tight-knit family. But Stacy and I are cut from the same cloth. We're from the same part of the state. Very similar upbringings. I think sometimes that can create us to have some tension, but that's good, because we're always pushing each other. And when we play well, there's no one who reaches out to me faster than her.
Right.
And there's been many times when, you know, head coaches and assistant coaches have boundaries.
Yeah.
Two head coaches talking about ideas and how to handle issues within the teams have been extremely helpful. And she's a Hall of Famer. You know, I tell Susie, working next to Tom, I'm working next to Stacy, who's won 5 Big Tens and is going to be in the Hall of Fame. Every day I'm trying to soak up as much of that as I can.
Living the dream, right?
Yeah, absolutely. No doubt. No doubt.
Let's talk about the Michigan Amateur Championship, which was played, of course, here in Mid-Michigan at Eagle Eye Golf Course last week. You yourself competed in that competition. We actually have footage of Casey out on the links last week.
Sure.
But I tell you what, your player, Sam Weatherhead, he had a remarkable week. He eventually won the tourney on Saturday. And when you look at Sam, though, I mean, he'll be approaching his senior year now. He's technically still a junior. Sam going all the way and winning that championship. I mean, first off, what was the reaction from you when he held up that trophy on Saturday?
Yeah, you know, my Sam in the summer works for my wife at the first tee. So he's become very close with both of us. And we walked around. It was my four-year-old's. It was her fourth birthday, actually. We walked around my family. And when he picked up that trophy, you know, and he sent me a text a little while after. Said, I can't thank you enough. Said, Sam, you're why I do what I do. A kid who was the fourth-ranked kid in his high school class in the state of Michigan, who was totally overlooked, kind of always trying to get to that next level. And to see him come through in a moment like that where there was literally no hesitation from him, he just started to believe it was happening. And I'll tell you, as a freshman, he actually had to lose half of his freshman year because he broke his foot playing basketball. A brutal decision for all of us.
Brutal decision. But play your sport.
In 2.5 years, you know, we've really had with him, and he's come that far. That's why I do this, you know, and he represents everything that we want to represent at Michigan State.
Casey, are you shocked that he's this good, or did you see this coming?
Yeah, we kind of saw it coming. You know, I specifically this week, once he beat Henry Doe in the first round, who's a top player in North Carolina.
Right.
Kind of told my assistant, like, this looks like it's going to be his week. Because that's the biggest competition. Knocks him off in the first round. You start to roll a little bit. Sam's a guy, when he gets on a roll, he can go crazy low. So I think all of us get impatient. Everyone has their own process, their own timeline. But he's been knocking on the door for so long now. It was only a matter of time. So once he got rolling, kind of knew this was how it was going to play out.
Well, I tell you what, we had Sam on Current Sports Radio this week, actually on Monday, to talk about his incredible round. And I asked Sam about, as the round went on, I asked him about your connection to him and whether or not you reached out to him and gave him some advice as it really started to get down to the nitty-gritty in the semifinals and in the finals. And here is what Sam had to say.
You know, he's been in the Final Four twice, so he has a lot of experience there in that tournament. And, you know, he just gave me some advice to just kind of stick to the game plan. You know, he was talking about how there was going to be no one out on the course that day. It's kind of going to be quiet, you know, eerie feeling. So just stick to the course, stick to the game plan. And, you know, the greatest piece of advice was to just keep the foot down on the pedal. You know, it's a grueling week of golf, 8 rounds in 5 days. So, walking that Eagle Eye course in that hot sun, gets to be, a little bit brutal on the body, but yeah, you know, he's a great coach and really gave me some great advice going into that final day.
So again, that was the voice of Sam Weatherhead of the Michigan State men's golf team. Sam winning the Michigan Amateur Championship at Eagle Eye last week, and you heard his thoughts on your advice that you gave to him throughout that tourney, Casey. When someone's in a zone like that, is there really much coaching you have to do?
You hope not. You hope not. You know, as they get experience early in their career, certainly. Because even when they get in the zone, they can be out of it very quickly. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this time, the way he felt, the way he looked, how comfortable he was, I just tried to keep it light, say some things that I thought were really going well, ignore the things that weren't, which I wouldn't do in the regular season. I'd give him a little more critique.
Right.
Also remind him to do the simple things. Because that's, you know, you're zoning on your golf game, but you still got to eat and drink a lot of water. You got to stay focused. And I spent some time with his family, you know, to just kind of feel like, hey, none of us are worried right now. We're going to spend time socializing. You go do your thing.
Right.
I will say, you know, I've been in that situation on the last day. And my only concern with Sam is he's so nice. Such a pleasant guy. Mm-hmm. In match play, if you're 3 up, you got to get 4 up. If you're 4 up, you got to get 5 up. Sometimes he can just kind of start coasting, and I really didn't want him to coast.
So you wanted him to have that eye of the tiger, just step on the throw, ruthless.
That's all I kept saying. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. And that was the message of the week, and boy did he go.
Yeah, he certainly did. Now, when you look at Sam's impact on this team, of course, he led MSU back to the NCAA regionals for the first time since 2009. Mm-hmm. Also, he was third in the team scoring average at a 73.35. Also, he won the FASA Memorial. How much better can Sam Weatherhead get?
I think we're 40% of the way to where Sam can be.
Just 40% of the way.
I mean, and he's come 25% of that since last summer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he came in with a really solid amount of talent and a great competitive spirit, but his mechanics were pretty far off when we started. So we've gone full circle now. He used to make one mistake. He's gone completely the other way. Makes a little bit the opposite mistake. But
right.
I'm going to push him to work harder. Things have come easy for Sam. He's the most pleasant, like I said, the most humble kid, giving kid. But he's going to have to be selfish. He's going to have to take some Sam time and keep pushing himself to that next level because there's no telling. I mean, he broke the school record at the Fossil Memorial this year, 68, 65, 69. The guy whose record he broke is close to playing the PGA Tour, Ryan Brent. So
Wow. You've
already proven that you're that good on the good weeks. Now, the key in golf, how good can you be on the bad weeks? And that's what we're going to be working on over the next, hopefully, as long as I'm lucky enough to have him around here the next 18 months.
If he keeps progressing throughout these 18 months, can we talk Weatherhead on the tour?
Absolutely. I think, you know, he certainly does the intangibles that we can't teach well enough right now.
Right.
But the things we can teach, we'll get him to the next hump, you know, over the next hump. But that's what I'm pushing for. I hope he is, too. I know he's saying that, but sometimes we all say that. I want him to start believing it like he did this week.
All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. That was a great look back. You know, every now and again, I love looking back. And you guys enjoy this, too. I always get messages from you guys about, you know, having a flashback interview, a throwback interview from time to time. It just takes you back to a normal time in the sporting world and a normal time here on Current Sports, right? But that was fantastic. And I got to get Casey back on the show very soon, and I have to visit that facility. I'm going to try working on a feature video interview that I can bring to you guys. That'll be fun for both of us, okay? maybe Casey can give me some tips as well, as I'm trying to break 70 this year, okay? Okay, folks, as I'm closing up here, I'm still seeing that Justin Rose is that guy. He is still leading the field at 4 under. We'll see if that still is true by the time you're hearing this, okay? Also, you know, Michigan is now the epicenter of the pandemic, and we've got more no cases in the entire nation are surging more and faster than this state. And Governor Gretchen Whitmer, I saw today that she is asking for a 2-week pause of Michigan youth sports, indoor dining, as well as in-person learning. Just let that sink in. That's what she's asking. She hasn't come out with some kind of order. This is a request, not a mandate. So you know what that means. People are going to continue to play. You know, youth sports, we're still going to have youth sports. I mean, we're right in the thick of things when it comes to high school basketball playoffs, right? People are still going to dine indoors. These restaurant owners are going to look at that and say, okay, cool. Yeah, it's not mandatory. So, restaurants have been hit so hard. I don't think they're going to look at this and say, yeah, you're right, Big Gretch, we're shutting down. In-person learning, maybe. That's the one that you probably have the most hope for. Well, that's the one that out of the three, you know, pause of youth sports, indoor dining, in-person learning. In-person learning is the most likely one of those three to happen. So it's wild, though, man. I really hope you guys are still staying safe. The pandemic hasn't gone anywhere, and we are certainly feeling that right here in Michigan. And I think, you know, I've been reading stories all morning about how there are many hospitals across this state that are reaching capacity when it comes to their emergency rooms. So please folks move like we are still in the thick of this thing, because here in Michigan, it does not look good. All right, anyway, enjoy the Masters this weekend. We'll recap everything on Monday. I want you all to have a fantastic weekend. Be smart, be safe, and be easy, people.